There's a movie, and I don't know if it's still in some of the theaters or not, and it's called The Great Awakening. And it's the story of George Whitefield when he came over here from England. He was with the Wesley brothers in the Holy Club. The story about his life a little bit, too, and how God has transformed his life and even all the struggles and stuff that he had. He was a great orator. He was trained as an actor, so to speak, because in them days they didn't have television and so forth. So the actors had to have this very boisterous voice and so forth. And when Whitefield started preaching, Ben Franklin heard him in Philadelphia, and Ben Franklin went out and wanted to see what was going on, this voice, and he went around and he went to the back of the crowd. He said, there's 10,000 people here, and I can hear it as clear as a bell. And it was just amazing. Anyhow, it's a wonderful movie. Talks about our Constitution, when the Constitution was being formed some years after the country was founded, and how it influenced Ben Franklin to be able, during the Constitutional Convention, to finally get the 13 colonies that was fighting among themselves like it was never going to happen. And now we live today with that sacred document that was formed, the Constitution. So if you get a chance, see it. It's just simply called The Awakening. Judy is not a history buff like I am, but she enjoyed it too, and it was really great. So, with that said, talking about strengthening your faith, strengthening your spiritual faith. Now, Judy had something done when she was going through cancer treatment the first time. We got a wonderful cancer treatment facility here in Tallahassee now, and they treat it with this big room with a bunch of easy chairs, and you go in there and you get infused with chemo and all the other kind of things, and it works, but they infuse you with chemicals and poison and so forth to get rid of your... But there's a new fad coming through that's been going on. Is sweeping across the country, doing some good, but it's questionable. And one of those trends gained in popularity involves infusion therapy, not for cancer, but infusion therapy on a regular basis. This is what happens. A nurse will stick a needle in your arm and give you drip injections of vitamins, antioxidants, micronutrients, and hydration to help you feel better and stay healthy. Now, I think it's probably helpful, but you can leave it to your own discretion whether you would like to go through an infusion therapy with minerals and vitamins and all of that. But it says this, we also do need to have some spiritual infusion for strength. And if I'm going to stay strong in this toxic world, I need that spiritual infusion, as it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, says that we should pray for our Lord to strengthen us with all power through His Spirit and our inner being. I think we forget about our inner being. We worry about our outside, our physical health, but our inner being also needs to be fed and strengthened. The great physician who came, he said, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12. And he being Christ, or the Holy Spirit, gives us a drip line from heaven, a spiritual drip line, infusion, if you will. The Bible also says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9, it is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace. And the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4, 13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But why do we need this continual infusion of strength? Because we're facing constant delusions of Satan. We are in the world, not of the world, but we got to deal with worldly things. The Bible talks about Satan being the god of this world. And there's a lot of challenges out there, and there's a lot of decisions to be made. Because Satan is always trying to attack us. He's always trying to weaken us at every point, which has always been his design. And I was reading recently about the children of Israel at Mount Sinai. Now, we know about that generation being delivered from bondage in Egypt. That generation was redeemed from slavery by supernatural plagues, if you remember the story of all the plagues. Other things that took place, that they were able to maintain release from their captives. They had also watched the Red Sea become dry and open up for a place for them to escape. And they experienced the visible presence of God among them with a pillar of cloud and fire that guided them all through the wilderness. They even tasted water that had been miraculously changed from being bitter to sweet. That generation had also eaten bread of angels, manna, sent down from a heavenly bakery just for them. The Lord had defeated their enemies, the Amalekites, and as Moses stood above them on the mountain, his hands raised to heaven. What has the Lord done for you? We know what the Lord done for all of the children of Israel. What has he done for you? Has he supplied all your needs? Has he answered your prayers? Has he given you grace? Parted any seas? He led you and guided you? He has done all of that for Israelites, but in the later days at Mount Sinai, as Moses was in the height of receiving God's message, Israel's spiritual strength collapsed. The story goes like this. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Hey, God, come, let us make God who will go before us. This fellow Moses who brought us up here out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him." You can find my version and the regular version and record it in the Exodus chapter 32, verse 1. So Aaron yielded to the pressure of compromise and his convictions. He went out and made a calf out of gold. So the next day, the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings in the presence of their fellowship offerings. And afterward, they sat down to eat and drink and indulge in revelry. The Message Bible said this is what happened when they gathered to do all that. The Message Bible says the people sat down and ate and drank, and they became to a party that turned into a wild party. So the spirit of Antichrist was active even back then, but much more today. And we have to acknowledge the powerful temptations within us and around us. We act as if their ungodliness can be removed, but we hardly remember the last time that we thought about that, but the heroes of the Bible never got used to living in an evil world. The Apostle Paul entered the renowned city of Athens for the first time. And you might think maybe he wanted to go see the agora, the libraries, the museums and such, but that's not what he went for. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verse 16, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. The Israelites, on the other hand, were used to living in an evil world, and really, they kind of liked it. The Apostle Paul wrote about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 6 through 11. This is what he said. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. And it was written, the people sat down and ate and drank and got to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. We should not test Christ, as some of them did. And do not grumble, as some of them did. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us of the ages to come. And he went on to say, so, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Verse 12. So we need that strengthening or the infusion of the Holy Spirit to give us every day, giving us the blessings and the joy from our friend, the great physician, Jesus Christ. Now, one of the passages that has infused me with strength is this one. And I love the book of Revelation. A lot of people say, I don't want to read the book of Revelation. It's scary and all that. Well, no, it's really God's love letter to us. It tells us about things that will happen, things how we can prepare ourselves, and more importantly, how to become an overcomer. In Revelation chapter 13, it is the chapter that most people think is frightening because it describes the sheer and unmitigated evil of Satan. Channeled through the most wicked men on earth will ever know, the man of lawlessness, who will consummate the spirit of Antichrist and his own self. And we're told that the Antichrist will have power to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And it was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. And all the inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, and all whose name has not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb was slain from the creation of the world. Revelation chapter 13, verses 7 and 8. Now you may be asking, Robbie, what's that got to do with us? But how can something like that strengthen us? Well, if you look at verse 10, it says, this calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people. And we aren't in the middle of the Great Tribulation, that's for sure. But I told Judy a couple of times, as we analyze things that are going on around the world and our country, if we're not in the Great Tribulation now, I know I don't want to be here when it actually happens. Praise be to God. He will keep us out of that. But it's a mess. The onslaught of Satan today and the spirit of Antichrist is alive and well around us. But we don't want to underestimate the spiritual dangers either. Those of us who know Christ have our names written in the Book of Life. And He will give us perseverance and faithfulness for the times in which we live in. If you accepted Christ, believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, and confessing with your lips, you'll be saved. Saved from what? Saved from all that eternal damnation. And your name is in the Book of Life. Nobody can take that away from you. Oh yeah, we might fall. Well, we call it a slip in the recovery programs. But you know, with an attitude of repentance, you just repent and ask God to forgive you, and your name remains in the Book of Life. Pretty cool. We belong to the Lamb of God who gives us strength, patience, and endurance. So when you're a friend in need, Jesus is a friend indeed. He is our friend, and He is alive and well, and He is engaged and aware that your name is in His book if you have accepted Him by faith. He will strengthen you with all power of your inner soul so that you can stay close to Him. He will give you the strength to do whatever He assigned you to do. Look at your world, but focus on Him. Don't make your own idols. Don't eat and drink and party without a dominant presence in your life, keeping you away from sin. That's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that does the convicting. It's the Holy Spirit that does the teaching. It's a wonderful thing to know that we are accountable to the Creator, the one who made us and breathed life into us. And our spirit connects with His spirit. I promise you this. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, in the New King James Version, says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, because He will infuse those who serve Him with patience, endurance, and more importantly, faithfulness. But earlier, I talked about in Ephesians 3, there was a strengthening prayer. Now, I like to paraphrase things. When my wife died of cancer and I was blessed to be able to do her homecoming service, people said, how did you ever get the strength to preach her funeral? And I said, well, it was the Lord that gave me the strength because of the hope that I know that we'll all be together again sometime, and I know where she is, so I paraphrased the 23rd Psalm. But I want to paraphrase a prayer for you and me. And it's a prayer just to think about. And it's a prayer that's related into Ephesians 3. Lord, I pray that out of your glorious riches, that you may strengthen us with power through your Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And Lord, I pray that I, being rooted and established in love, may have power with other Christians to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this, O Lord, this love that surpasses knowledge, I pray that we may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. In Jesus' precious name, amen.